But we're going to continue with Colossians 4. For those that don't know, we've been digging into the book of Colossians and going through the whole book of Colossians each Sunday, or each chapter each Sunday. So Colossians 1, and we're at Colossians 4. And to be honest with you, it's been a rich journey for me. It's really been good. And we're going to wrap it up this morning, and we're going to go on to the next book next week. And we're looking forward to that. So it's such a privilege to go through the Bible in each chapter and read through it and say, yeah, what is God saying to us as people through His Word? But before I do that, something is really beautiful that I've seen unfold, and it's no coincidence, but it was also not planned at all. And for those of you, have anyone seen this piece of paper? Anyone? I know it's there at the back, and it's quite small text, but it is here. And I want to test something. I want to see something, because we see it in the book of Colossians. And as I was finishing up with Colossians 4 yesterday, I realized that Colossians is actually summed up on this piece of paper. And I want to test someone. If that's okay. Just to find out if you really know what's on this piece of paper. And leadership, you're not allowed to say a word. So there's four elements that we as a congregation are really asking God to help us in. We want to have it as a lifestyle. We want to practice it. We want to trust the Lord that it would be part of our DNA as a congregation or as a family. And it's really, if you look at those four elements, it's actually summing up myself and us as a child of God, or us as a congregation. And so who can name these four elements? And if you get it right, I was thinking I'm going to give one chocolate, but it's so important, I'm willing to go for two. And if you get it right, I'll give you these four chocolates. What's those four elements? Huh? Four elements for two chocolates. Four elements for two chocolates, not four chocolates for two elements. And if you don't know it, anyone? Four elements. Put up your hand and hoy it. Yes. Mm-mm. This is not good, family. No. Yeah, as a belief. No. Well, it's part of it, but it's not it. Four elements. It's on this piece of paper. It's very clear. And just for those that are maybe intimidated with my English, it's also in Afrikaans on the other side. Asseblief, julle kan met liefde in Afrikaans gooi. Nou gooi. That's number one. Yes, yes, two. Disciple. No. There's something of that in there, but the four elements are quite clear on this piece of paper. So that wasn't clear. Sy kan half 'n chocolate kry. Jy moet week al dit kry, moet maar nou. Het iemand dit? Niemand nie? Julle, luister hierso. As julle nou hier uitstap vandag, asseblief, tel een van hierdie oudkies op. Pick one of them up and go read it. We're going to test you next week. And hopefully, we don't have to bribe the big adults with chocolates to know what our family is about. Because this is what our family is about. Can I share it with you? Okay, I'll let... Sy kry 'n chocolate, want sy het al probeer. Ek kry die chocolate. So, it's crucial to know this. And our lifestyle as a disciple, as a child of God, is actually summed up in these four elements. And as I was going through Colossians, and I said it to Christoph as well, Colossians 1 is the first element. Colossians 2 is the second. Colossians 3 is the third. And now we're going to jump into Colossians 4, which is the fourth element. And it was for me, we're on the right track, friends. And maybe we're not getting it right, and maybe we're not, but we're on the right track. And may we ask God to help us to grow in these four elements. So the first one is living intimately with our God. Intimate relationship with Him, number one. The second is learning His teachings. So we want to live intimately with Him, and we want to learn His teachings. In other words, the Bible. And the third one is as we do that, we become more like Him. So becoming more like Him. And then the fourth one is we want to continue His work. These four elements is summed up so beautifully in this. Intimacy with Him, learning His teachings, becoming like Him, and continuing His work. So please, pick up a piece of paper, put it in your Bible. I'm going to ask Christoph to ask next week. I'll leave this chocolate for him. Oh, even worse for you guys. Yeah. This Abaya. But anyways, let's move on. And so we're going to wrap up with Colossians 4 and the fourth element. It's kind of focusing on this one is continuing His work. And Paul, speaking to these Colossians, give us practical tips on this and shares a bit of the heart. And so we're going to jump into that. So Colossians 1, intimacy with Him. So I'm just going to give a bit of an overview of what we've been going through for those that haven't been here with us each four Sundays. And so Colossians 1, Paul was talking to this group of Colossians that was living on a trader's route. So we've maybe said this a few times, but I'm going to say it again. It was a group of people, and this church or this area was on a trader's route where a lot of people from outside, a lot of merchants, a lot of influence was finding its way within the church. Philosophies, beliefs, religion was finding its way in this group of Colossians in the way that they were thinking. And somewhere along the line, this group of people felt that God is far and He is not enough. And so we need to do extra things. We need to find out more so that we would be able to live in a way that was good for them. And these philosophies and things got hold of the church in Colossians. And Paul came to them and said, listen guys, God is not far. He is close. And He wants to be intimate with you. Colossians 1. Intimacy with Him. He's far, He's close, and He is enough. And this was his first message to the group. And then he goes on in Colossians 2, where he's saying to them, listen, I know there's all these philosophies and all these teachings and all these things that's coming in from all these people. But I want you to know that God and His teachings is enough for you to have all the wisdom that you need and all the knowledge that you need. To live life according to His kingdom. And so he talked to them about this beautiful mystery, which is Jesus Christ, or having a relationship with Him. And when you find yourself in Jesus, there's this wisdom and this knowledge that they were hungry for. And for some other reason, they were seeking it by all the traders. And he was saying, okay, but, and that's the second one, learning His teachings, His ways. Colossians 3 was becoming more like Him. He was addressing the lifestyle of a believer and saying, this is the standard. This is the way to live. And not just so that you have a standard and a way to live, but when you do that, you will become more like Him. Becoming more like Jesus. Displaying His splendor. Someone will see something of this incredible King that came to serve in you and say, I don't know what it is, but I see something and I can't put my finger on it. And it's basically just saying, we're becoming more like Him. And people are seeing something of Jesus in the midst of His people. And then the fourth one, continuing His work. Colossians 4. And so let's read it. So I'm gonna focus on just a part of it because we don't have time to go through the whole Colossians 4. So I'm going to focus on just a part of it and give you a brief overview on the rest, if that's okay. And we're going to focus on Colossians 4 from verse 2 to verse 6. Have we got the scripture there? Okay. And I'm going to read from the NIV. So if you've got your Bibles, take it out, make underline, highlight what stands out to you. And it'll be really good to go and meditate on this further. In your cell groups, read through it again, chew through it, pray through it, wonder about it, ask a friend, so that we could really learn His teachings. So let me read. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And then he continues with his final greetings, and he's talking about people that he's going to send later to the group of Colossians that's going to follow up on this letter. He's giving greetings to that person, and he's saying how that one is good, and he's basically giving kind of like a wedding speech about a bunch of people, and he's acknowledging them, and he's giving some information to the group of Colossians about people that is going to come, people that is in chains with him, and that's the rest of this letter. So it's the first part, which we see here, and then the second part is basically just acknowledging people that have been traveling with him and people that he's going to send later. And there's some valuable lessons in there that we can really learn, so I want to encourage you to go and read it afterwards. But for the sake of time, we're just going to stop at verse 2 to 6. And it's all summed up in this little terminology here, continue his work. And so if you ask, what was the work of Jesus? What is it that we as his people need to continue? Well, I think possibly three things, maybe more, but let me just highlight three for now. He really came to talk about his Father. That was his heart. He was coming to express what is on his Father's heart, his Father's plans. And not only that, he not only wanted to talk to people about it and share it and make it clear, but he wanted people to follow that, to live according that way. And so he helped the people to do that. And then not only that, he made a way that that was possible. And that was the finished work of the cross, that we would receive his Spirit and we would be able to understand the heart of the Father, we'd be able to follow as a disciple. And so Jesus came to do those three things. And I think that if we want to continue his work, it's got to be something of that. Reveal the Father heart of God. Help people to follow and direct people to the finished work of the cross so that it would be possible for them to do so. Because we cannot follow in our own strength. We need his Spirit. We cannot see the Scriptures clearly in our own strength. We need his Spirit to make it clear to us. And so that was his work. And so I'm going to jump back into the Scripture, and you can leave it up there, Gerik, please. Because we're going to refer to the Scripture, and all that I'm going to do is go through it again and just highlight what I believe God is saying to us as people, just as God used Paul to say to the Colossians at that time, that went through this beautiful process of saying, first commit yourself unto the Lord. He's not far. He's close. Learn his teaching so that you would know how to live lifestyle. And now that you've got that, I want you to continue this work of his. And so Paul's talking to them in this regard. So I want to sum it up in two elements that we see here. We see prayer, he's talking about prayer, and we see witness or testify or express. So let's, for the sake of terminology, let's say prayer and witness. These are the two focus points here that Paul is giving to the Colossians, prayer and witness. So I'm going to first jump into a little bit of the prayer side, and then we're going to look at the witness side. And this is part of continuing his work. So prayer, there's possibly more, but I want to highlight two main, I've got to be careful of my terminology here, two main ways that I see in the Bible of prayer. And the first way is communion or communication with my God. So I'm talking to him, I'm requesting my desires or my needs, I'm having communion with him, there's this fellowship with him, and it's kind of me seeking him. And praying is the communication between me and him. Kan jy net so opstaan? Ek wil nou dit demonstreer. As hy, kom nie so skaam wees nie, kom nie so. Jy moet hier staan. Say hello. So I want to illustrate this maybe with, she is not God, but she is going to be the symbol of God at the moment. Jy is die God. And so there's the first one of communion, so me talking to her about things, chatting, fellowship, asking stuff and desiring. But then the other one, the other element of prayer is now standing shoulder to shoulder with her. I've got this relationship. I know what she wants. I'm praying with her. And I see that she's, I see that she's got a desire. And so what do I do now? I'm praying for what she sees. I'm praying into something, for something. As a result of seeing what she wants, her will, her desire. And it's not only just me asking stuff and desiring stuff and having this communion with her. It's also as a result of this communion, I'm now standing shoulder to shoulder and saying, what is it that you want? And what you want, I'm going to pray for. Does that make sense? Ek mag gaan sit. Ek grap sommer. Nee. And so these are the two elements or two ways of praying. There's this, but there's also, Lord, what is it that you see? How do I pray into? And we see that in Daniel's life. There was that picture of Daniel. There was something that the Lord showed him. And for some other reason, there wasn't a breakthrough. And Daniel fasted and prayed into the situation. And there was breakthrough later. So there's these two elements, and it's so beautiful. And the first element of communion or this fellowship with him or requests, he knows what we want, but he still desires that we come to him and we ask. It's kind of like a child. I don't know if I've got a child that requests a lot of stuff often. Daddy, mama, I've asked that. Papa, ik soek die. You know, there's this constant request. And even though I know that he can do it, I want to help him at times. Like, I don't know what it is. The cupboard, the pants are right there in front of him. Mama, where's my broek? And he's got these requests. And it's like coming to our God with his requests and desires and what we think we need and what we want. And but to be honest with you, if our communion prayer with him, if that's all that it entails, if that all that it involves, it is only half. There's got to be just a normal walking, talking, loving, being relationship with him. In the midst of my everyday, as I'm walking through the orchard, or I'm sitting in front of my office and I'm just talking to God, not constantly requesting from him. It's so beautiful when my children come to me and they don't want anything. It's not often. But when they do and they just come and they just want to share a story, or they want to chat about how they feel, or they just want to be. That's not as lekker hoor. It's really special. And so I think sometimes God desires that and misses that from his people, because so often we see prayer as this list and we just got to moet hierdie besigheid uitskiet hierso sodat ons kan maar nou. And so let our communion also be real with him and not just a bunch of requests. And the other side of prayer, and I want to say it quite clearly, hearing God's voice is prayer. Because if prayer is communication between me and my God, then it's got to be a two-way communication. And that's how communication works. And if it's not two-way, then you are missing out. So hearing his voice, being still, and waiting on him to say something to me or you is part of prayer. It's just his side of communicating to me. And how often I miss it because I'm too busy. Or too in a rush, or my prayer time is this list that I need to get through and request and petition, which is good, and it's also part of it, but it's not all of it. And hearing God's voice as his people, this creator that created these mountains and these trees and everything that we see, this creator, this incredible, huge, sovereign, intimate God, he wants to talk to me. When we hear his voice, it's really good for us. It's really beautiful. And so this communion, this prayer, it's part of it. May we also be in a position of saying, Lord, please speak to me. I want to hear your voice. And when we do, that's part of prayer. And so the other, as I said, I think Daniel is a really good example of hearing what God wants to do, whether it's in a community, at my home, in the congregation, in a family, in an individual, seeing what God wants to do, now standing shoulder to shoulder and praying into it. And so I often say, Lord, well, I pray into the spiritual realm that this would unfold. I see that this is your desire for Cirrus, so therefore I pray for Cirrus in line with this, and I pray that there will be a breakthrough. So do you see that I'm not necessarily face to face with my God, I'm shoulder to shoulder with Him and praying for, as a co-worker. And that's crucial. I do it way too little, specifically seeking God's will to pray for. And pray into. And for some other reason, God is inviting His people from the very beginning to be part of that process in prayer. I don't understand the fullness of it, but it's definitely the reality. If I look at so many individuals, Daniel, very good example. He's inviting His people to say, come, I want to show you my will, and I need you to use the power of prayer to pray into. So therefore, there would be a breakthrough. And maybe it takes time. Maybe it takes fasting. For whatever reason, God chooses to invite His people and say, listen, I want you to see what I'm seeing, and I want you to pray specifically. It's crucial. And if you have to ask yourself, honestly, how often are we finding ourselves in this position? Then he goes on to say, so I want to just highlight those to devote. So I've actually got a definition here. I just want to quickly read it because it's quite cool. Devote. This word, devote, is crucial because I think we all know what devotion is. And we do it quite well in many areas of life. The question is it towards prayer? Being devoted to something means being focused on that particular thing almost exclusively. So exclusive means primarily. That thing, one thing. When you are devoted to a cause, you work to achieve its goals. When you are devoted to a person, you place their needs above your own. Being devoted doesn't have to refer only to personal relationships. So being devoted to prayer. Oh, there's so much devotion to a lot of things. Yeah, I've seen Niri Owens, Trikas. His stuff is at 3 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the morning most of the time. Now, I haven't seen this. I'm not a fan. But I'm not so devoted to that. And I'm all for South Africa winning, and it's lekker and it's good. But the mense is devoted. Hulle staan sommer op 3 uur om dit te kyk nou. That's devotion. It's great devotion. So we understand something of devotion. Is it towards prayer? Do we have something of that? Because that's God's heart. It's really pretty. So being devoted to prayer by being watchful and thankful. So something of this is expressing this illustration. Shoulder to shoulder, watchful. Seeing something that He is seeing and praying into it. Thankful, oh Lord, that I can be here with You. I'm thankful. These two elements. Do we see something in that? You can go to the next one. And then Paul continues to say to this group of people, pray also for us that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. So then he goes into witness. He's saying, as a result of this, I want you to go and continue His work. What element is that? The fourth. Continue His work. And he's saying the witness, there needs to be prayer so that God may open a door. Why wouldn't God just open a door? I read it and I thought, no, like He can, and He can do anything, and He can open all sorts of doors without anyone doing anything. But for some reason, like Daniel, like so many others, He's inviting His people to say, I need you to pray for this to happen. And there's a bunch of scripture that's backing that. And I don't want to get sidetracked. But there is a bunch of scripture that's backing that and saying, I need you guys to pray. Pray for me. Pray for one another so that you will have open doors. To what? Open doors for this message that He is proclaiming, the mystery of Christ for which He is in chains. So obviously in that time in the Roman Empire, if you had a message, if you proclaimed anything of Christ, it was summa tronktu. And that's why he was in chains. Over here, we've got it easy. but we've also got it difficult. And that's why we need one another to pray for us, so that we would not only see, I think sometimes there's so many open doors. I think sometimes you need to pray for me for the open door so that I can see it, to be honest with you, because it's there in front of me so often. And sometimes I just don't see it because the patterns of this world and the busyness of life just closes my eyes. And so that, go back quickly, I just want to make sure, open the door so that we may proclaim this mystery. So just to let you know, this word proclaim is often seen as you need to go stand on the corner and proclaim. It's not that. It can be that, but I don't think it's that. And it says it later in the scripture that we're going to get to now. It says there's something of a grace and something of a seasoning of salt, a sprinkling of salt to make it attractive. Let's go to the next one. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Friends, I think this is what Albrecht was also saying. There's some sort of preparation. And yes, the prayer is there to support me and to help me so that this message, I'll be able to communicate it clearly. Not only communicate, but it talks now in a moment about act. Act and communicate. Someone said to me, he said, "Yeah, Fitje, when my actions is not in line with my words, it's really confusing. It's really confusing." And I think the worldwide church is falling short in this. We've got the right words. We know the right scriptures. But if we have to look at lifestyle and the act part of it, and those two not lining up, it's really confusing for someone that doesn't yet know Christ. It's like, okay, I'm hearing this, but I'm seeing that. I'm really confused. What should I do? It's crucial. And so proclaim isn't that. Okay, you can continue to the next one. Be wise in the way you act. There it is. Act towards outsiders. So just in other translations, a bit of Greek of outsiders is basically just someone that hasn't received the Holy Spirit yet, is not reborn for whatever reason. Maybe they don't understand it, or maybe they rebel against it. And so it's not people that is outside and we want nothing to do. It's people that is outside the body of Christ. People that has not yet been reborn, received the Holy Spirit, and is a functioning member in the body of Christ. And he's saying to this group of Colossians, be wise when dealing with these kind of people. Not be a knife. Don't be a judge. Don't be a bunch of things. He's saying, be wise. And how does that look? So in Colossians 2, if you were not here, he says, all wisdom and knowledge lies in Christ. And if we are finding ourselves in an intimate personal relationship, this communion prayer life with him, and when I'm in him, then I have got access to this valuable treasure called wisdom and knowledge. And Paul talks about it as a treasure. It's this beautiful treasure hidden in Christ. And so, should I seek wisdom, perhaps? Or should I seek Christ and find myself in him? And as a result of that, have wisdom. But may we also pray for wisdom. That's what James says. Pray and ask for wisdom and he will give it to you. And we need wisdom in our marketplace, in our everyday lives, dealing with people that is not yet part of the body for whatever reason, so that we would be wise. And then it continues to say, and make the most of every opportunity. So now that we've prayed for these open doors for you, and now the opportunity comes, be wise, the way that you act and speak, so that it will be clear, and make the most of every opportunity. How often I have sat after an opportunity and realized that was a door that God opened up for me, according to the scripture. And I was too scared or unsure or maybe not equipped or fear of man. The list goes on. And I didn't make the most of that opportunity. May we be careful of that. Because there's many opportunities. And as believers, may we make the most of it and continue his work. Go to the next one, Gerik. Let your conversation be full of grace and seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. so that you may know. Now, if you ask me, if I just look a little bit on YouTube and I look what's going on around me and a bit of a culture amongst Christians, it's not seasoned with salt. It's sommer 'n groot lepel wat mense probeer druk in ouens se monde. It's sommer, and it's not tasty. It's just, have you put a tea, have you eaten salt like that before? It's unbearable. You can't do it. But just with the right amount, oh, die steak. Huh? Hy gekookte eiertjie. Maar sonder daai sout is hy net 12, okay. And he's saying there's something of this truth that he's saying to us. We need to have the help so that we can clearly communicate and in our conversation do it in such a way that it's attractive. That people will actually say, "Wow, I want that. I don't know what that is, but I want it." And we can't do it on our own strength. We need the prayer of each other, and we need the wisdom of God to help us in that. And then there's a crucial thing. So I said in 2 weeks ago in Colossians 2, there's a few small words that go unnoticed, but they mean so much. So one of them in Colossians 2 was, if you and me are united as the body of Christ, if there is unity, then it says, if you are united, and then it goes on to say, so that you will understand this beautiful relationship with Christ. The so that is crucial. It means that one is connected to the other. The so that is in the middle. So united with the body, so that you will understand Christ and this relationship. And if we are struggling to understand Christ and all that he's done and who I can be in him, if I'm struggling to understand that, there might be a lack of unity in the body of Christ or with me and the body of Christ. And here's again, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So if I hear correctly here, there's these opportunities, there's this clear communication, there's this lifestyle or this acting or this being in such a way. And then he's saying, as a result of that, you might have to answer people. Not druk it down their throat, but rather answer when they are asking, but what is this hope? I see you have hope. What is it? Ah, let me tell you. I've got a seasoning of salt here, and I've seasoned this message with salt, not as a result of my own understanding, but I've seasoned this now so that it's created a hunger for someone, and they've come to the point for some other reasons, by God's grace, this open door, and all these things that Paul is talking to them, and they come now and they say, can you help me? What is it? And then you would be ready to answer everyone. Is it nimoy ni? And this is part of continuing his work. It is really part of continuing his work. And it always just comes, really, it really just comes back to Jesus every single time. Like, I know that we've got a responsibility, but it always just comes back to him. And I'm thinking of that little story of a boy in the preschool, or what is hierdie kinderkerk? Sunday school and kids church, and he knows he's at church now. He knows it's kids church, and the teacher asks him. He brings up a picture where it's the fish and the bread, and just to make sure that she's got their attention, she asks them, "What do you see here, children?" And it's clear that it is fish and bread. Mother Sinki, the boy, he knows that he's in Sunday school now, so everything is Jesus. So I weet, I moet eintlik brood sê, maar is eintlik, and I say Jesus, and alles is maar net, I've seen it in kids church, everything is just Jesus. I don't know what to say, but maybe I should just say Jesus. It's going to be the right answer. It's going to be the right answer. I don't know what to say. I think it's bread. It looks like fish, but I'm scared I'm going to be wrong, so I'm just going to say Jesus. And it's basically what's happening here. There is practical stuff that we see in this word. Things that we need to apply. But the reality, at the end of the day, the answer is Jesus. Being found in Him, this treasure, this wisdom, this knowledge, as a result of that, being with communion, knowing what His will is, praying into that, it is just always coming back to Him. And if it is not, then we're in trouble. And so, I want to finish up with a very big question that we all need to answer. Why? Why should I continue His work? Is it just another program? Is it just another thing to do because I'm a believer and this is what we need to do because we just need to do it? Why should we continue His work? Why should we pray and devote ourselves? Why should we be a witness and act and clearly communicate? Why? Well, I want to read a scripture and then I want to finish off. And while I'm getting the scripture, I want to ask you, and I shared it the other day with the group that was with us, talking about a redemptive lifestyle. A lifestyle of continuing this work of His. That's what redemptive lifestyle is. Being equipped so that I can do it clearly. And I just want you to, for a moment, because I was gripped that Sunday. Was it Sunday or Tuesday? That Sunday I was gripped by God's heart again around the why. And most of us have children here. And if you don't have children, think of a loved one. But at the moment, just think of that loved one. And if you have children, think of your child and think of their name. Say the name in your head. Maybe close your eyes just for a moment. Think of your children, your son, your daughter. And if you don't have children, think of someone that you dearly love. Truly love. Put their face in front of you. See their face. Now think that someone would come and steal them. They're gone. They're missing. You don't know where they are. You can open your eyes. To what extent would you go through to get your child back? What would you do to get your child that you love so much, that little child, is gone, stolen? The opportunities of where and who is endless. They're gone. What would you do to get them back? I would go through heavy extent of effort. I would devote myself to make sure that I get my child back. And if you're asking why, because this is exactly how God feels about all those that do not yet know Him, that do not yet know this beautiful message and this mystery of Christ, of having a relationship with the very one who created me, this mystery. And He was willing, devoted, even to the point of death, to make sure that these ones that have been stolen away from Him, His children, would come back. But for some other reason, He's inviting me and you to be a part of that. I'm going to read the scripture. We all know it. Luke 15 from verse 20. It's the story of the prodigal son. And after he came to his senses, the son that went missing, was lost, far away from his father. His father didn't know where he was, according to the prodigal son. And this guy came to his senses at the end of the day. And then it continues to say, so he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, embarrassed and full of shame, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. Celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and now he's alive again. He was lost, and now he's found. So they began to celebrate. Can you imagine your child, that loved one, gone for so long? Not really sure, is he even still alive? And then one day, you see, there he is. He's coming back. How would you feel? Oh, ek sal celebrate, hoor. Ek kan nie vir jou verduidelik hoe ek sal voel. And this is the heart of the one that's saying, listen, I want you to devote yourselves. I want you to continue in this work because there is so many that, like this prodigal son, has not yet been found. And so if you ask me why, that is why. That is the reason. It's not just another program. It's not just a box that we need to tick as God's people. It is an incredible heart of our Father that is longing and longing to celebrate when each one comes back to Him. And so may we hear what Paul is saying to the Colossians and us, because we are in the same boat. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can be here. Thank you that I and most of us, hopefully all of us, have come to our senses and that we are back with you. That we have experienced your celebration over us coming back to you, Lord. And thank you for the finished work of the cross, that that's real. I really ask, Lord, that this that Paul was communicating to the Colossians, that you would help us, that it would be a reality in our own lives, that we would devote ourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, that we would be witnesses of what we have seen you do and who you are. And with that, that we would pray for one another so that we could clearly communicate and clearly act this life that you've given us. Lord, we need a miracle within our congregation to truly get this right. And you know, we always know, Lord, that it's not getting it right. It's not a mechanical machine that we need to, but it's being in you, Lord Jesus. That we would find ourselves constantly in an intimate, loving relationship with you. That you would be our priority, Lord, above all else. That you would be our God above all the other gods that's calling our attention. And that we would continue to learn your teachings, that we would be dedicated to study your word and find out how should we live, what are your teachings, so that we could become more like you, so that we could display your heart, your love, your desires, your joy in this world where your work needs to continue. And so help us as individuals, help us as a body to live this scripture out. Not just to be hearers of the word, but to be doers. This will take a miracle, Lord. And therefore, this morning, I really pray for a miracle within the midst of our congregation. Help us with this. In Jesus' name, amen.